one can come to me unless the Father draw them, and I will raise them up, and I will raise them up, and I will raise them up on the last day. I am the resurrection.
Hi there. It's March 29th. Welcome to our service of morning prayer. I'm the Reverend Meredith Hefner from St. James Episcopal Church. If you're new to us, I welcome you. If you're part of our St. James family, I miss you. And I'm really delighted to at least come together in this way to worship God, wherever we are in this time. This morning, our service of morning prayer begins on page 75 of the Book of Common Prayer. Or you can find it, if you received this video by email, on the link just below the video link where we have put this service bulletin together for you, for your use, to follow along. If you need to pause the video to bring that up or to print that out, please do so now. Otherwise, let's be quiet for just a moment as we begin this worship. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turning to page 79, then let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We continue now on page 72 with the Veniti. Just like last week, if you remember chanting this, I invite you at home to chant it as loud as you'd like. Otherwise, you can also join with me as we read this together. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our psalm appointed this morning is Psalm 130. It can be found on page 784 of the prayer book. Let's pray this psalm together. Out of the depths have I called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to note what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? For there is forgiveness with you. Therefore you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for him. In his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all their sins. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. At this time, we'll turn to the readings and our homily. I'm delighted today to welcome with us the Reverend Todd Thomas and his wife Teresa, who will be leading the readings and sharing the homily. Brother James, our assistant rector, James Isaacs, is on vacation this week. We look forward to welcoming him back next week. But today, we're delighted to have Todd with us.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost, cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Canticle 14 together.
O Lord and ruler of the hosts of heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all their righteous offspring. You made the heavens and the earth with all their vast array. All things quake with fear at your presence. They tremble because of your power. But your merciful promise is beyond all measure. It surpasses all that our minds can fathom. O Lord, you are full of compassion, long-suffering, and abounding in mercy. You hold back your hand. Do not punish as we deserve. In your great goodness, Lord, you have promised forgiveness to sinners, that they may repent of their sin and be saved. And now, O Lord, I bend the knee of my heart and make my appeal, sure of your gracious goodness. I have sinned, O Lord, I have sinned. I know my wickedness only too well. Therefore, I make this prayer to you. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me. Do not let me perish in my sin, nor condemn me to the depths of the earth. For you, O Lord, are the God of those who repent, and in me you will show forth your goodness. Unworthy as I am, you will save me, in accordance with your great mercy, and I will praise you without ceasing all the days of my life. For all the powers of heaven sing your praises, and yours is the glory to ages of ages. Amen.
This is a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Canticle 16, the Song of Zechariah. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. but let us go to him. Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were there in the house with her, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you have sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Hello, church, especially all our beloved at St. James Potomac and anybody else who might be dropping in on this video. It's good to be with you to share this time and these amazing and amazingly long readings, right? That's the Lenten life. Having these really long passages, especially long gospel passages. But it's fantastic stuff. We're going to spend some time both in Ezekiel and the gospel passage today. But first, I would like to air my complaint. You know, here's the deal. A few months ago, Reverend Meredith asked me to preach today on March 29th. And then a couple weeks ago, we made our first suspension of public gatherings, which would have meant that today would have been the day I would have been the first one to preach in the church building when we came back. I mean, I was so fired up. I was gonna come in and do like some victory laps around the sanctuary, do some high fives, and really have some fun with it. But no such luck. It seems like our COVID-19 response is gonna be of necessity a little bit longer, so virtual high five, everybody. But still, it's really good to share some time together with you and to spend some time with some amazingly poignant Lenten passages about resurrection, and especially to have these kinds of passages in this time, not only in Lent, but in the time of our COVID-19 response, our COVID-19 anxiety, fear, and in much separation. It's tough. Feels like we're kind of in the crowd of mourners that came from Jerusalem to be with Mary and Martha. Sitting with the sick, and then mourning with those who have died. It's a blessing in this context to have two stories of vision and hope. So let's quickly review the two texts. Now, Ezekiel 37 is a beautiful passage, a beautiful allegorical vision. in the text, it sort of says, Ezekiel says, God's hand plucked me up out of life and dropped me into this surreal, crazy nightmare landscape of dried bones, dried dead bones. Some translations say a whole plain of them. Some translations say a whole valley of them. And God walks the prophet around through these bones and asks the question, hey, can these bones live? And understandably, Ezekiel's kind of confounded by that. I mean, he probably doesn't see much more potential in dead, dry bones than we would. So he simply says, you know, you must know, Lord, you must know. And God does know. God intends for these bones to then come to life and for this to be a message to God's people that even in this kind of death and in this kind of hopelessness and even in this kind of loss of vision, do not forget what God can do. God says, this is how it will be for my people when I crack their graves open, when I break their graves open and I lead them back into life, back into the way that life should be. You see, Ezekiel's talking to the people of Judah in exile. They've been defeated and carried off to Babylon. Their lives turned upside down, everything missing, everything seeming so dead and dry and dusty. And God says it won't always be this way. And then we come to our gospel story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And man, there's so much in this passage. I mean, it's a resurrection story. It is a story of vision, a powerful look into the daily life of Jesus Christ, which is a time in this story of turmoil, danger, heartbreak, and a story of a grave broken open to reveal life. There's so much to talk about in this passage. There's Thomas, poor Thomas, whom history will name and remember for one moment of doubt. In this passage is a disciple who valiantly steps forward and says, let's go die with Jesus, if that's the cost of following him. And then there's Lazarus and Martha and Mary, these amazing siblings who seem to be about as close to Jesus as anyone in all the gospel accounts, as far as like close relationship and friends. They pop up in stories again and again. And did you notice how they sent the message to Jesus to tell him that Lazarus was ill? It's the one you love. It's the one you love. And in fact, John goes on to say that even though Jesus gets the word and loves them so much, he doesn't go right away. He continues his work of preaching and teaching where he is. You see, Bethany is up here by Jerusalem. And the chapter before this, in John chapter 10, the very end, it says that Jesus has gone off now to beyond the Jordan River. So he's a distance away. But he gets this information and he stays. He continues his work for a while, even though he loves them so much. And he, you know, he makes a vision statement that this is not an illness just leading to death, but it's going to go beyond this. Death is not the end of this story, but glory is the end of this story. Life is the end of this story. And so he waits and he finally goes. And when he arrives in Bethany, Lazarus has died. It has been that much time. And Martha meets him and says, you know, amazingly, Lord, if only you had been here. You know, if you had been here, this would have been so different. If only you'd have come. But Martha, at least to her credit, is able to look forward a little bit and understand that this might not be the end, that the story may not end at death, because she adds a statement. She says, but even now, I know that God will do what you ask. Hint, much. I mean, she's, I don't know, is it brazen? Is it, wow. I mean, it's pretty audacious though. If only you'd been here, but even now I know that there can be more. And then she goes and gets her sister, and Mary comes out, and what does Mary say? The exact same thing. Lord, if only. You know, these two stories, both of these stories are pretty amazing because they're stories of God, but they're also stories of humanity. They're stories of God with humanity, God in humanity, God through humanity. Because, you know, in the Ezekiel story, God doesn't just drop Ezekiel down in this valley of dry bones and then God descend down and presto changeo makes everything amazing. God says to the prophet, you speak life to these dry bones. God says to the prophet, you be my words to proclaim what's going to happen down here, to prophesy to them, to speak it, and then I'll make it happen. And then Jesus shows up in Bethany, and he doesn't just stroll into town yelling, Lazarus, come on out. You know, he stops and he is with people. And Jesus is with Martha, and then Jesus is with Mary. And then Jesus is in this crowd that has come from Jerusalem to give consolation and seek consolation. And he's so moved that he begins to weep with them. He mourns right along with them. He just blends into that crowd walking to the gravesite. And even when they get there, he doesn't say, "Lazarus, come out," until he's had them move the stone. "You guys open the grave. Ladies and gentlemen, you play your part. Roll the stone back," and then he calls Lazarus out. And then he tells them again, "Now you unbind him." These are stories of resurrection, but they're also stories of God with us and God through us. You know, I honestly didn't want to talk about COVID-19 today. In fact, I originally told Teresa, I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to see if I can preach and not even mention it. But that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's where we are. We find ourselves in this valley of dry bones. We find ourselves kicking through this dusty plane of existence, devoid of so much that we have loved. Our lives have been turned upside down. Some of us probably feel very much in exile. And some of us have probably even said, you know, the words, "if only." If only this, if only that. But what a beautiful reminder that even as we kick through those dusty piles of bones, that there is life on the way. That even as we mourn, as we console, and as we seek some consolation, and Jesus is right there with us, there's great glory coming. There's better coming. Though we find ourselves for a time in this place, looking for consolation, needing consolation, we should recognize that this is a time of grief. This is very much like this moment in the story of Lazarus and Martha and Mary and Jesus. And when we find ourselves in grief, we should not be afraid to honestly hurt and honestly grieve, even though we know that days of renewal are coming and we know that this is only temporary. Some of you may have seen an article that was posted in the Harvard Business Review this past week. It was entitled, The Discomfort You're Feeling is Grief. And it talked about two kinds of grief. It talked about both the grief in the moment, because the world has changed and we're not happy about it, but then also an anticipatory grief, that we actually grieve that it could get worse, and we grieve in fear and anxiety of what's coming. So they talk about going through the stages of grief and responses to the stages of grief in this time. And I'll just mention a couple of things they mention in responses. They say that we should let go of what we can't control. And second, stock up on compassion. I mean, in short, letting go of what we can't control means that I wash my hands. I keep my physical distance from people. I do what I can do. I control what I can. And I just have to let go of the other stuff. I just can't let it wrap around me. I can't let it become my narrative. I can't let it weigh me down. Carry what I can and leave the rest in God's hand. And secondly, stocking up on compassion. You know, we are hurting, but like that prayer of St. Francis, to seek to console more than to be consoled. Though we do need consolation, that is a mutual need, and compassion drives us to be aware of one another in this time, to stay connected, to reach out in every way we can, even if not in physical presence, in physical proximity. You know, we have never been called to spiritual distancing. We've certainly never been called to relational distancing, just a physical distancing for a time to stop the spread of this virus. But compassion would drive us to remain connected, to console one another, to speak the words of life and hope to one another, to remind one another of the vision of Ezekiel 37 and John 11. It seems we have a few more circuits around this valley of dry bones before we get to do any victory laps in a church service. So let's hold on to one another in every way that we can. Speak the words of life in every opportunity. Sing the words of hope. Wash our hands. And let's conclude with a prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. I have adapted the language just a little bit for us today. This is the Prayer for the Absent on page 830. O God, whose parental love and care reaches out to hold every person upon the earth, we humbly ask you to turn your heart towards those whom we love, now absent from us. defend them from all dangers of soul and body, and grant that we all, in drawing closer to you, may be bound together by your great love, drawn into the peace found in your Holy Spirit, and comforted by the prayers and faith of all your people, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, we're back. We continue now with the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 96. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Clothe your ministers with righteousness. Let your people sing with joy. Give peace, O Lord, in all the world, for only in you can we live in safety. Lord, keep this nation under your care and guide us in the way of justice and truth. Let your way be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations. And let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor be taken away. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and sustain us with your Holy Spirit. And now we'll share together a number of collects. First, the collect of the day. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now on page 100 for guidance. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now our prayer for mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before you, for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I'd like to have just a little silence. Sometimes when we read those prayers, they feel rushed to me. I invite you in this time to lift to God your intercessions, those things that you're worried about, those things that you're thankful for. Tell God what you need. Share with God your blessings. And we'll come together in just a moment. Gracious God, in these times in which so many people are afraid, some are ill, some have lost loved ones, some are struggling, they've lost jobs, some are just worried because we don't know what the future will bring and how long this will last. Lord, we come to you for your peace, for your guidance, your wisdom, for you to help us to walk with us through this time. We ask that you be with all those who are sick, all who are caring for them, all who are making sure that our needs are met. We lift to you everyone in the world who is struggling. We all call upon you for your peace, your presence, and your love. And Lord, however we can be your love to others, we ask that you inspire us and encourage us. And finally, God, we give you thanks for the many ways you make yourself known in our lives, for the love you share, for the hope you give, for we truly in you have faith that we are not alone and that this will end. Hear the prayers of your people, O Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And now, if you'll join me in the general thanksgiving, it's on page 101. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shortly, we will join as Newton plays All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. That is also in the bulletin attachment to this email. I want to thank Newton and Dawn Ipe, Newton, our music director, Dawn, the chair of our membership commission, Kirsten Hall and Grace Lowe, our admin staff, who have worked so hard all week long to communicate with you, to bring this worship to you, and to really help share God and bring our community together. I thank them all. And if you need anything, you know how to reach me. In the meantime, may God bless you until we meet again.
All hail.